Wi-Fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat, and today we will be discussing Zombieland. Woo! Nut up or shut up. Today we have newbie, Jeff, which is at The Borg on Twitter. Give us a hey.
Hey, what's up?
And we have, welcome back, Will.
Brains.
Brains. So silly. And Eric.
Wow, I cannot follow that up.
You could have went with Ger-R, but that's vampires.
Yeah. You will swallow your soul.
Oh, look at you warming up.
Planet Earth. Home to over 6 billion people. Today, our very existence is threatened by epidemics, climate change, and dwindling resources. But those are the least of our problems.
Zombieland, I totally did not expect this film. It's was a surprise to me. I thought it was very good. It is written by Rhett Reiss and Paul Wernick, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, directed by Ruben Fleischer. And it stars Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, and Abigail Breslin. And I just thought it was a spectacular film. And who wants to weigh in first? Let's let the newbie go. Jeff.
It was a good film. It wasn't the best zombie comedy film I've seen.
Well.
But it was good still. I found a lot of issues with it.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. What?
Actually, the main one, I think, was at the end of the movie where the two girls go to the amusement park and turn on all the power.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, that number one rule in a zombie apocalypse is you don't draw attention. And what
you have rules? You have rules?
Well, no, but not like Columbus in the movie, but one thing you don't do is draw attention to yourself.
I think they assumed that that was a zombie-free zone, perhaps, because that's what they were saying the whole time. We're going to La La Land and whatever that was called. And
the only zombie-free zone would be an island that's isolated. But then you may not always be completely isolated, though.
Okay. So that was the only issue you had with that? Or
no, that was like the main one. I'm like, you girls couldn't have been that stupid. They survived for I don't know how long, and then all of a sudden, let's turn on all the power. Of course, no one's going to come and freaking come. No freaking zombies are coming, freaking start eating them. No.
Well,
of course not.
You know, well, the problem with that is that Disneyland is in. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Pacific. What was it? Pacific.
Funland?
Funland Pacifica or Pacific Funland?
Something like that.
It's come on, it's Disneyland.
Yeah.
That was the point.
Yeah.
But it's very much in the community of Anaheim.
Yeah.
I mean, and you actually you're in the park and you're like, oh wow, this is great, and you look and you're getting a high ride and you look out and it's like, oh look, there's tract housing over there. So it's kind of a shock to the system. But yeah, I have to agree, that was a problem I had.
Yeah.
It was a problem, but it wasn't like oh my god, what a terrible thing, it destroyed the movie. I thought it was fabulous.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny too. Eric, you quiet over there, what you think of Zombieland?
No, it was pretty good. First off, I mean, I'm no big connoisseur of zombie movies. I mean, I mean, I have nothing against them, and of course I've seen some, but I'm not like a major fan. Like I know some people are of the genre, but
me,
I mean, because before the movie ever came out, when I just saw like the previews, to me the previews were one of those kinds of previews where I couldn't judge from that. Like I couldn't tell, is that a good movie or isn't it? Like it really wasn't clear to me from just the previews alone. And then the reason I was willing to go along with it, like seeing it, was because I just, you know, I just looked and I was like, wow, it's got some pretty positive buzz, and that was good enough for me to go check it out, and I did, and, you know, it was, I was just happy it wasn't a disaster. Well, I mean, it wasn't anything close to a disaster. It was fine. It was great, and I was, like, pleasantly surprised with that, and it was good, and I wasn't, I don't know, I think, I was going to say, when I first walked out, I just walked out of the theater thinking, that was good, but that was it. But as more time has gone by, because it's been almost a week now, I'm starting to think more favorable of it as more time goes by.
Why?
I don't know, because I saw a review of it just by coincidence this morning. I saw a review of the movie on TV, and I was just watching it, and it just made, oh, yeah, that was really funny. Oh, and that part was funny, and it just... Like, I started having, like, weird, like, memories that, like, I was just, like, reminiscing about, oh, yeah, actually, it was pretty good. So
speaking of funny parts, reminiscing and stuff, Bill Murray.
Oh, jeez. Spoiler alert. I showed up to the gate, and the gate said B-M on there. Like,
That can mean anything, let me tell you.
But I knew it right away. Like,
when did you read spoilers or anything?
No. I just knew right away, other than thinking.
I read a mini spoiler. Well, it was kind of a spoiler at the time, but it ended up, I read a spoiler about it, but it wasn't that it was Bill Murray. It was that they had originally offered us a role in the picture to Patrick Swayze.
Oh.
And this was like last year, and he was too sick to take it, unfortunately. But he was very enthusiastic. He read the script and really liked it. And they decided to keep the thing in, and I said, oh, okay, that's going to be really cool. But I don't want to know who it is. But unfortunately, David Letterman broke that spoiler. Did you hear that?
He's just messing up all over the place.
He is. He's giving out spoilers, getting divorced. but he actually said, and Bill Murray's in the movie. I said, oh, great. There you go. That's what
it is. Not necessarily ruin it just to say that Bill Murray's in the movie. I mean, he's an actor. You can find that on IMDb.
I guess so. But it was brilliant. It was amazing.
See, I had read zero spoilers or anything. I didn't look into anything about the movie, period. And just watching the movie, just being in the movie, when he said, oh, I have the perfect celebrity, the first name that came in my head was Bill Murray. As soon as
Jeff said that too. What?
I'll tell you why.
Why would y'all figure Bill?
I'll tell you why. Because I noticed from the first time that he went off about the Twinkies, and I was like, Ghostbusters.
There's that light between that and Ghostbusters.
Very first time. That's all I could think.
It's
Ghostbusters reference right from the very, very first time.
Really? You got that as a Ghostbusters?
Me, I did.
I'm a fan of Ghostbusters. I almost forgot it until they showed the shot in the movie.
My mind works like that. And the very first time that they mentioned a Twinkie and his obsession, I was thinking Ghostbusters. And so fast forward to when they were in L.A. and he said, and I was like, oh, Bill Murray. And I saw that BM. I was like, yep, exactly.
If they had Patrick Swayze in there, we're going to be like big fans of him. It's like, oh, I love Dirty Dancing. Oh, yeah. That is Ghost. Yeah, they're my favorite movies. And you got Columbus watching like one of those movies in like Patrick Swayze.
No. The movie would have been Roadhouse.
Oh.
It would be all about Roadhouse. My Way or the Highway.
Oh,
and that would be the phrase they would have put in the... You know, earlier in the movie,
and for Faith, sure. And for Faith Theme Park, instead of calling it Pacific Funland or whatever, I was just like, hey, man, why couldn't they have called it Wally World? Because to me, that would have been the perfect fake name / homage. Yeah.
And then you'd have to get Chevy Chase in there as the as the celebrity mansion.
Yeah, but that's the only thing I thought that would have just been like the icing on the cake if they could have just called it Wally World, because I felt that vibe the whole movie.
Yeah. That would have been good.
Pacific Playland.
Yes.
That's
Pacific Playland. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for it right now so I can remember what happened in the movie.
Yeah, I have that in front of me too. That's what I'm pulling stuff from. Mm. Oh, man. The zombies, so they weren't exactly like Romero zombies. They were, what was the movie, 28 Days Later zombies. They were infected humans. They weren't dead, but they were just...
Yeah, they never touched on the origin of what happened.
Well, they said mad cow.
Yeah, they said mad cow disease.
Mad cow to mad, the human to mad zombie.
Right, yeah. They did go into that a little. But
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Do y'all like those zombies versus the brains? I mean, what do we like? Because these types of zombies are new, right? They're new to...
Newer.
What do you mean? I don't understand why are they considered newer.
I'm just asking because I mean, the old zombie.
Yeah.
Would you say, Will?
I was just gonna say 28 Days Later, which is the first, I know, appearance of these kind of zombies.
Wait, why are we saying those are the same kind of zombies? Because to
me, we're not saying they're the same. They're not the same kind because they're actually still human. They just have a disease. Whereas Romero zombies, aren't they undead?
Yes, they to become a zombie in a Romero picture, you have to die and then be come alive. The disease, the virus in you reanimates your corpse.
Right. See, to me, again, I'm no zombie expert, but I tend to judge the zombies more of how they act and now rather than how they became infected or how they started. Because to me, I think of the 28 Days Later zombies completely different because they're like hyper frantic, you know? And so to me, the 28 Days Later zombies are different because they're crazy. But these ones are more traditional in that, you know, they're slow going, you know, and they fall, you know, they're not.
Well, the idea behind the Romero zombies is if you can keep moving at like, you know, like 2 miles an hour and you're walking, you can keep ahead of the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they'll never stop, but you know, and they will overrun you eventually, but you know, they won't run. They don't run. They don't spring out in front of you and stuff.
I like those zombies.
They're slower.
I'm a hardcore.
Having to reload.
You're a hardcore, would you?
I'm a hardcore Romero fan.
Okay. Old school.
And I based a lot of stuff on that, on his stuff.
Invasion of the Body.
And I have seen some like the Night of the or the Return of the Living Dead movies,
Night of the Living Dead.
Where they're actually talking and going brains. I want to eat your brains. They're okay, but
so you're one of those people who like the traditional non-talking as averse to the brains and blah blah. Because I heard two camps. There's two camps on that, and then now maybe a third camp with the infection zombie who are actually not, you know, they're undead.
Yeah, so there's the three types. Dawn of the Dead. The remake Dawn of the Dead had the same kind of zombies in there. The run ones that can run and do stuff, but they didn't talk.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, so do we think that these days that the scary, jumpy, crazy, wacky zombies are better, scarier, more, or what?
They would be more scarier if you actually were in that situation. There's more of the action thing going on. So, I mean, today, I'm standing outside in the field and these zombies are slowly walking to me. I'm like, ooh, I'm scared. I just take out my gun and go bang, 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 to shoot them all. But if they're running towards you, you're like, holy hell, I got to get the hell out of here. And fuck.
Man. Oh, no.
So that for the modern age, they probably made this be more exciting and stuff.
Okay.
That's my guess.
My mother always told me, someday you'll be good, son. I mean, I don't think she could have guessed that something would be zombie killer.
What do you think? Zombie killer of the week?
Eric?
Yes.
Or something?
Oh, okay.
Just jump in.
Let me tell you. I thought the movie was pretty well made for, you know, just solid. I like the opening sequence. There's, obviously, the director had this thing called slow motion.
That was cool.
You know, I love that part, man.
That was really cool.
It reminded me of, just only in that respect, it reminded me of the opening of Watchmen, just in the slow motion respect.
And the way they moved the font as the zombies were killing stuff in the opening credits.
That was great.
I love that.
I like the way every time they added in the little captions, every time like a rule was adhered to, you know? Like, I don't know what it is about the 3D credits that I like so much. Cause I like it in Fringe too.
Yeah, me too. That's exactly.
I love it. It's so ridiculous, and it's just these little floating 3D letters, and I just like that.
That was pretty cool. I like that also.
Mm-hmm. I still remember about the rules later because they hadn't talked about a rule for so long. Because in my head, I was like, when are they gonna talk about a rule again? And it wasn't until later in the theme park, and when he did the double tap, and I was like, come on! Yeah. And then they showed it like a delayed show, and I was like, all right, cool, we're still keeping track of that.
That was a slow double tap. That's probably why.
And I do like movies like this, like right from the start, that are kind of self-aware of the genre that they're in. You know, like it reminds me of the original Scream, how, you know, they like know they're in a horror movie. And, you know, I like that when it's not, when it's done right, when the characters know, like when he did, when he kept running laps around in the gas
station.
It's perfect sense. It's perfect sense. And I like that because it makes, so, okay, we don't have to worry about silly things. We can concentrate on, you know, the characters telling jokes or being funny. And I like how it wasn't one of those kind of movies that had, you know, like those cheap scares, like random, like scares that just come from like the audio soundtrack for no reason.
No.
Things, you know, popping out of the... No, I'm glad we didn't have any of that, because I could just do without all that. So it was refreshing. It was good.
Speaking of the 3D stuff, Will, what did you notice? What are we looking at here? Or is it just all makeup? Standpoint.
Well, I mean, it was all filmed in Georgia, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So they were in Texas. They weren't in any of the locations that they said they were. I think they painted a 3 on the truck and drove around LA a little bit.
What was a 3 for?
I didn't get it. I was looking at it, and I struck me going, why number 3? I don't get that. What's it?
Nobody?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
I don't know either. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that just, you have that to reveal in the sequel. But, so there, I think there were some distant shots, you know, replacing skies or horizon, pinning buildings and things like that. Just, you know, because it's a modern picture and you do that nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But there were precious few effects with the creatures, but the ones that were there were great. When the monster gets kicked, falls off and flips through the structure of that drop ride.
Oh,
I was like, oh, cool. It's like, that was so amazing. And the guys get hit by the guillotine back and forth.
Mm.
He runs in front of it and goes, wham.
So, for example, there's this huge ride that, like, swings back and forth, like, humongous. It's the size of, like, a very, very big thing.
Yeah.
And it swings back and forth, so I calculate that if I run past at a certain angle and speed, as soon as I pass it, it will wipe the zombies out. So I would say that's the most creative.
And that was like real, real, real fake, you know, fake creatures flying. But they were very simple, very straightforward. You know, it was, you know, from what I could see, it was well done, but it wasn't like, oh my God, it's so amazing. And there weren't that many, which again...
Weren't that many what?
Effects.
Oh, know, okay.
3D effects, computer effects.
Sorry, you're talking about zombies. I was like, there's a lot of them.
There are a bunch. But, I mean, there weren't that many in that. Before they got to the park, there was probably, I mean, the most in one shot was probably 10.
Yeah.
And then the last shot is like 160. But still, you know, it was pretty neat.
Well, they say the same guy who did Thriller did the zombies in this movie.
That was pretty cool. And I love the fact that it was a relatively inexpensive shoot. I think this was like in the 40 to 50 million range, which is like in the zero to nothing range.
Actually, it says 23.6.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I was.
I wasn't looking at my...
Yeah, he was just pulling a figure out of there. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's actually even lower than that, amazingly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we go back to District 9, we go back to these movies that are coming out that are, I believe this was also shot on the Red. I'm not sure that it was, but I believe.
I just wanted to bring that Red camera.
I'm bringing it up because this movie is less expensive to make because they make it on the Red. Ergo, more of the money, because there are when you're making a film with effects and you need to digitize your film, there is a lot of cost in there that you have to spend like $2 million just to get to a point where you can do a shot. This is literally you take the corrected footage from the Red, you put it into your system, and you're working on your shot. And that, I think, is the impetus to get more of the money on effects in the actual film. Because more of that, because if you're spending half that, you know, like maybe a quarter of that budget usually is what it is, on effects, you know, you've got like, you got five, maybe $6 million to spend, and you go, wow, $5 million, that's a lot. But there's a lot of people involved and a lot of things involved in doing digital effects. So it's possible that you can run into a very high amount of cash for a very low quality of effects. But again, this movie and like District 9 show that you can get, you can shoot faster, you can shoot cleaner, and you can shoot and you can get your effects into the system for a relatively low amount of money.
Yeah, and they did it for the not only was low amount of money, but they made their money back. Was that gross revenue, Eric? 37.
Yes, blah, blah. I mean it's the second highest grossing zombie film from the start. So I mean, yeah, that's pretty much success right there.
Yeah, and these movies are coming out more and more. There are more movies coming out later this year and through next year. I think there's five. I don't remember the titles, but there. But if
you mean red camera movie or zombies?
I mean
just the low budget.
Low budget, high effects, and digital cameras. Not necessarily the red,
okay,
but in a lot of cases the red.
And let's not forget Moon too, to add to that list of.
Yeah, Moon. Reasons. Yeah, Moon was digital. Moon was digital, but exactly, it's the same thing, the same idea.
So Jeff, did this movie feel low budget to you?
No, it didn't. Actually, I thought it was like a regular Hollywood movie.
Really?
I didn't think it was that low budget. I never really looked into how they made it or anything, beforehand.
But it just didn't. You didn't get a feel of, wow, this could be on made for TV or anything like that. You
no,
just,
I didn't
you
get
just
that
didn't
at all.
No, well, see, no, I mean, look, it came off as a typical Hollywood movie, but just as a person who looks at these kind of things as, you know, as someone who knows, you could tell it was made on a budget, even though it wasn't low budget looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, because, like, yeah, it didn't look low budget, but if you're the kind of person who just notices when... I can't help it. I don't know why I do that when I watch any movie. My brain is tallying up in my mind, like, wow, that would have been a really expensive shot. Wow, you know? But in this one, you could tell, like...
Yeah, I think that's your desire to actually make films. I can do that for half that.
No.
That's what it is. It's your brain going, oh, no, I could do that for half. No problem.
But you could tell that, you know, it was all, you know, mostly, you know, standard, you know, on location effect, you know, traditional effects for the most part. You know, there would be long sequences where there wouldn't even be any zombies seen. Yet, in the audience, you didn't even mind. You didn't even notice, you know. There was times
I did it
for a while.
Yeah, I was kind of when they were tearing apart that shop, I was kind of going,
why had to
this
be
is really freaking expensive.
I know, I was thinking about that too. Like, what?
And the Kino Sabi.
Yeah.
The Kino Sabi.
Yeah. I mean, and that goes back to what I first said. Like, they were making all this noise and everything, but there were no zombies, which is kind of weird. It's like, where are the zombies at? I didn't think there was enough zombies in there.
Well, not at the end either, when he goes surrounded by zombies and the little shooting.
Oh yeah, there's a lot there, but throughout the entire movie, I'm talking about, I didn't think there was enough zombies.
You know, that's true. Like during the part where they were riding together and stuff, it was just like a big zombie-free zone there for a while, like on the road.
Well, that was okay with it.
Yeah, because you're going like out Midwest and everything. They're trying. I don't know where they were, but. You're not going to have zombies everywhere. Come on.
Yeah, I was totally fine with that. I found it refreshing that they had those times when there wasn't any zombies and it was just the characters. And, oh, I forgot to mention, too, I liked the way they incorporated each of the main characters' like little backstories with their little flashbacks at the relevant times. Right. I thought that was well done. It was funny, too. The little vignette when he was in his apartment. That was good. Oh, and then the other characters, too, had theirs, like the girls playing off the scam. And then there was Woody Harrelson with what was first his dog and everything.
It turned out to be his. Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, I just thought they were all just well done and good and just added more texture to the film in a good way.
Yeah, it gave you more of a background on all the characters, which was good. Most zombie movies don't do that.
And oh, yeah, he's just screaming from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the script was very original, and it was original in taking on these old-fashioned cliches that it used. You know, the concept that if these guys can move, they're going to hit you. You know, so cardio. You know, just stuff like that. Yeah, I really liked it. But the other thing was that I thought was, you know, relatively cool was, you know, we're going to, you know, obviously we're playing for the, you know, the weird people and everything, but it, you know, and the concept of making them a family, that's like, that's the basic tenet of writing a film. They say, well, do this. And they put that in there. They did all these things that were cliched, quote unquote.
Yeah, but
and
it
managed
works.
To make it
the
exactly.
love story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's all cliche. It's totally cliche from beginning to end, but it manages to work.
Yeah. Anyway, I wasn't like actually get disgusted where they make movies and they're just basically a huge love story. Like every Adam Sandler movie, it's a love story between him and the girl.
Yeah.
I mean, I was waiting for that to happen with Zombieland with Columbus and Wichita. Come on, she's hot. I mean, but it really never like came up like a big thing.
Yeah, I mean they were.
It was like a kind
had...
of small thing.
Oh.
They kind of kept it in the background. Or down low.
Except for when they were about to smooch.
Oh yeah.
And got cock-blocked.
The giant cock-rocking robot from the Army agency. I was like, yes, that's right.
I really love Woody's character. I think he really brought it. I don't think I've seen him in anything in a long time. And I was like, hey, he still looks good and he's funny and everything's on time. I just really became a fan of him again.
Yeah, he was pretty good in there.
Yeah,
I kind of like just like how he killed zombies. It's more like an art form.
Yeah.
But truthfully, hell with that. I'm going to shoot everything in sight. As far away as I can. I'm not going to get up close to him. Using the banjo in the supermarket, that was funny.
Yeah. That was good,
though. Then the baseball bat. You sure got party mouth and just freaking clutched zombie
nice.
In the mouth.
Ammo.
Yeah, I freaking died laughing. And then the big fat guy at the end, the third one in the supermarket.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to take a little bit off the top. I'm going to take a little bit off the top. I'm using, like, a freaking machine gun. You know, just saw your neck off with it.
But I dare I say this, and I, you know, it's kind of make a bad impression, I think. But I think his how he played his character was, for want of a better term, subtle.
Oh.
In that he had, you know, he's like, oh, I'm the big bad zombie killer who lost his son and who's totally torn up by that. And it's
okay.
Like, oh yeah, and then if you see, when it comes up at the end, all the rest of the beginning of the movie kind of does it 180 in your brain and you go, so it's just, I mean, again, it's Woody Harrelson. I mean, partially it's the part, but it's definitely his ability to pull that off, which he managed to do.
Yeah,
and you're like.
I want to mention a little tidbit about him having an altercation with a photographer at an airport. He punched somebody in the face, and he said he was still in character, and that's why he did it.
I remember that.
I didn't hear about that at all, but wow, that's hilarious.
That makes sense, though, if you think about it.
But he's supposed to be a professional actor. It's like, okay, I'm gonna be Tallahassee, the zombie killer now I'm going to go to the airport. It's like, okay, get out of it. You're an actor. Leave it behind and be a normal person.
No, I believe...
Well, he's not normal. He smokes a lot, so...
I just can say...
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
His concept of, I was in character, might have meant I didn't have a joint. That might have been the point. It wasn't sedated, you know?
I know for a fact a lot of that stuff will mess up your mind.
Really?
Yeah. Not from my personal experience.
Fact, I like that, huh?
Not from my, other people I've known. Oh my God. I was like, yeah, I don't that stuff.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it that before the 60 Minutes, too. I really did.
So. Well, these fellas really let themselves go.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Question. Do you think you will survive a zombie apocalypse?
Would I?
Yes.
I would hope so.
Or how long?
Oh, I couldn't tell you how long. No. I'd need to arm myself.
Are you ready now?
Fortunately not.
Will, could you survive?
See, what I would do
is
I would get to a boat.
Do you know where a boat is? Do you have access to a boat?
Well, as a matter of fact, young lady, there happens to be a very large contingency on the West Coast, and they got for fishing. So there are a lot of professional boats moored down by the docks. So I would get to a boat, I would get in the boat, and I would go to Catalina Island, and then we would just cleanse the island of undead, and then we have a pretty nice place to live.
Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I have a plan, so I believe it is possible that I would survive the zombie apocalypse.
What about some person who is mean-spirited, puts a bunch of zombies in a cage and dumps them on your island? Hmm? Or what if they learn how to swim?
Well,
they would. Well,
they can't swim. They would walk along the bottom of the lake, river, ocean, whatever.
Those are the undead.
No. They would. Well, see, it's weird because the undead would die again, which is odd.
And that's what zombie killing is. They're dying again.
Exactly. Yeah. So no, I don't. I think it'd be all right for that. Mm. The other, scenario you poured out would make a pretty good plot for a screenplay. So you might want to work on actually probably pretty good plot for the sequel.
Thank you very much.
Actually, if you want to work on that.
Thank you very much. Eric, do you think you will survive the zombie apocalypse?
This is an interesting question because. I think it would be, it would boil down to, like, how long I'd want to survive until I was just fed up with it. Because, it's weird, too, because, like, not that I have nightmares very often, because I don't. But, after you bring this up, every now and then, like, maybe once a year, I do have some kind of weird nightmare where there's something like a zombie or invasion of the body snatchers or something.
Would it be a zombie clown?
No, not a clown. But just, I have a random dream every now and then where something is taking over. Or something is taking over, everyone one by one. Like, every now and then I have that dream. And in those dreams, I'm so exhausted, constantly being on the run.
Yeah.
And what always ends up happening in the dream is eventually I get bit or infected or whatever.
Ooh.
And in these dreams, again, they feel like they're real at the time, And as soon as I get bit or infected, all of a sudden there's just all this calm and relaxation that comes in. Cause it's just like, oh, wow, no more running. And like, oh, thank God I'm done, And so there's like a whole bunch of relief and relaxation that comes. So I wonder if at some point I would just be like, what? It's just so much easier. Like, just
to join them.
Really, it's so much easier. So, it's not really all it's cracked up.
That's exactly how I feel. I feel like, man, just so many zombies coming at you. It's so overwhelming. I don't know what I do. But then I'm like, when Hurricane Ike came, my survival instinct kicked in. And I think, when I have to survive, I'm sort of like a drill sergeant and I boss people around and, I become like the leader or something and everybody survives. So maybe that'll happen. But, maybe not. Who knows?
If you can set processes as Kat has to do for her her clothing and all that, making a dress or something is basically taking a process and breaking it down into small parts.
Mm-hmm.
And organizing it, that's what she does very well. And if you can do that, usually you can say, okay, we need to do this and this and this. We need to get guns. We need to.
I would just like to bark orders.
Yeah.
Move your butt, soldier!
No. Marines, we are leaving!
So, any final thoughts about Zombieland, Jeff?
Too many shotguns.
What?
Everyone had a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I don't like shotguns.
You don't like shotguns? What do you want?
I like assault rifles, stuff with bullets that will go through nicely. Okay. But actually, it's one thing I'm giving us the movie.
For caliber, I mean, 25, 22, what?
Any kind of handgun, any kind of 9mm or 40 caliber, whatever. Any kind of assault rifle, sniper rifle, whatever. But they just had a lot of shotguns in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're sexier in a movie.
They are sexier in a movie, I think.
I don't think shotguns are that sexy.
Well, see, you're talking about hitting power, and I think a shotgun for the movie is motion. You know, it's like, you have to move the thing, and things pop out, and you can open the breech and pull up
the
thing.
It's a good thing, good weapon to have up close. Far away, no.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing about shotguns is that it's a psychological weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the effective range is probably 20 feet away from a shotgun. But if you stand up there with a shotgun and you cock it, and you get the whole... people 6 miles away from you will stop and go, what was that? You want to get control of the situation, shotgun's the best way to do it.
Note to self, shotgun.
But... Not get
shotgun, and they're mostly legal.
Because they're not going to be, you know...
So Jeff, you want to be as far away from the zombies as possible. That's a thread that I've noticed with you since you started talking. You don't want to be close. You don't want them to get anywhere.
I don't want to be bitten. I don't want to be eaten up. I've watched a lot of zombies. Well, not a lot, but I've watched a good many zombie movies. And
people
shit, I don't want to be lying there with my freaking stomach torn open and zombies in my intestines. Being there, like, screaming like, ah! When they're doing it, I'm like, hell no, I want to be as far as away to shoot them, get out.
Yeah, what is the difference between, like, the people that just bite them and they turn and the people that get their intestines pulled out on the street? I mean, it's like, why do you decide to rip that guy to shreds, but, you know, one guy, you just gnaw on them a little bit and they join you?
Who knows, but it's one thing that I have noticed also, just thinking about it, is that if they're like that, they're getting, like, eaten apart, they don't turn into zombies because they're mostly, like, torn apart.
Right.
Yeah. So they
maybe eventually one of the delicacies of a zombie is actually the brains, but a lot of movies don't say that. So if a zombie's eating your brain, then you're not going to turn anyway because your brain's dead or your brain's destroyed.
We did a lot of thinking about that.
Always shoot. And my motto with guns has always been shoot for the head.
Yeah.
Don't shoot for the chest. Don't try arm or leg. If you want to disable them, fine. Blow their kneecaps off.
Right.
You want to kill them?
Yeah.
Shoot them in the head.
Shoot them in the head.
And make sure you double tap.
Double tap.
If you shoot them in the head, you shouldn't have to double tap.
Exactly.
If you blow their head off with the shotgun, don't need a double tap.
No.
If you run them over, and then you want to have some fun, yes, run over their heads and squish their brains out.
Gross.
That was in the movie.
I know, that movie was disgusting.
And they talked about, running over a zombie with a steamroller.
Steamroller.
And it's like when you squeeze out the toothpaste from the bottom, all comes out the top.
So gross.
Zombie's head to the top.
That's nasty. Yeah. Will, final thoughts on Zombieland?
A good movie. It should be seen by all humans. if only as another instance in which we can learn to avoid the zombie apocalypse. It was a fun movie, and until this year, I haven't really had that much fun at the movies.
Wow.
Watching a lot of films, but you know, if it started with Star Trek and went right through, you know, Moon and District 9 and stuff, and was just fun, films to go and watch.
Okay.
And you kind of forget what it's like when you're seeing a competent or good movie. You're just like, oh, that's good. But getting the joy out of it, you're like, wow, that's so amazing. Mm-hmm. Those are rare. Those are rare. And yeah, we're getting a lot this year, and that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Eric, last thoughts on Zombieland.
I just think that at some point we need to have a face-off between the actor Jesse Eisenberg and Michael Cera, because they're both trying to carve out the same kind of shtick, and at some point they have to meet up, and
I was thinking, because I get them confused too.
Yeah, I want to see who wins that fight, because
yeah, but it wouldn't be an actual fight. It would be like,
yeah, it'd be dueling apathy and self-deprecation. They like
self-deprecation at 20 paces.
Oh my god. Guys, that is our Zombieland show. I hope you enjoyed it. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. And Will, why are you breathing?
I'm just
wanted to say bye, didn't you? I didn't let you say. Will, tell me bye. And where can we find you, Will?
Oh, you can get me. I'm on the Twitters mostly. LW underscore Will.
Okay. All right, Jeff, where can we find you on Twitter?
The Borg. It's the underscore Borg.
And Eric, where can we find you?
Bullet Undead 33.
Undead?
I'm just keeping with the theme.
Right. Don't confuse me.
It's October.
Man,
it's October. It's Halloween. 773-336-2686.
We'll see you next week. SciFiPartyLine.com. Goodbye.
By the way, Eric, one thing.
Yes.
What's the song you can put in this episode?
Oh, well, Kat already, she made a request for this particular episode.
Jonathan Colton, Read Your Brain.
Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. It's good to see you, buddy. How have you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. I really wish you'd let us in. I think I speak for all of us when I say I understand why you folks might hesitate to submit to our demand. But here's an FYI, you're all gonna die screaming. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're not unreasonable, I mean no one's gonna eat your eyes. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brain. I don't want to nitpick, Tom, but is this really your plan? Spend your whole life locked inside a mall. Maybe that's okay for now, but someday you'll be out of guns, and you'll have to make the call. I'm not surprised to see you haven't thought it through enough. You never had the head for all that bigger picture stuff. But Tom, that's what I do, and I plan on eating you slowly. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're not a, I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're at an impasse here, maybe we should compromise. You open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. I'd like to help you, Tom, in any way I can. The way you're working with me. we'll get to common ground somehow. Meanwhile, I'll report back to my colleagues who were chewing on the doors. I guess we'll table this for now. I'm glad to see you take constructive criticism well. Thank you for your time, I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed when I bash your head open.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable, I mean no one's gonna eat your eyes. Maybe we should compromise. Open up the door. We'll all come inside and eat your brains.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how we do that.
Grr. Arg.